on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
All right. Welcome back. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, here 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. every weekday morning. And, yeah, at 4 o'clock, we've got our friends over at Bradley Place, simulcast right here on WGN. And at 5 o'clock, Bob Surratt, who made his return to WGN yesterday morning at 5. He's here 5 to 9. He's our morning guy. Very exciting to have Bob back. So, yeah, that's what's coming up. And we are going to be talking about some music stuff. We've got some a story about Zeppelin fans trashing the Boston Garden. We've got some rock gigs that went off the rails and some terrifying rock riots. We're going to get into some rock stuff and some weird jobs that pay surprisingly well. That's all coming up. Our phone lines are open if you want to jump in. It's 312-981-7200 and 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, it is time for our monthly visit with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter, at car_guy_Tom. And you can check out blog.consumerguide.com for more. Tom is here. We talk about a bunch of automotive news stories and what's happening. And we also open up the phone lines for you if you have a car-related or an automotive-related question, if you're looking for a car and you want some help. Tom's here, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Tom back to the show. Hi, Tom.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. How you doing, sir?
I am well, thank you.
Good, good, good. Welcome back.
Happy to be here.
And tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive and all that stuff.
Yeah, Consumer Guide Automotive. We've been around since 1967. I've been there for like 20 of those years now. It's crazy. but we are all new car and used car reviews and car culture. If you go to consumerguide.com, I'm sorry, you can read our reviews. If you go to our blog, the cgdailydrive.com blog, you can read our in-depth review of cars, our travel reviews, and some of the fun stuff we try to do with car culture.
Very cool. It's a wonderful website and really cool. I love what you guys do. Very, very
thank
cool.
You.
Hey,
thank you.
Hey, so Tom, you were down here in the studio hanging out with Steve and Johnny just last week.
I learned something interesting. You have glass walls, and your office is very neat.
You walked past my office, huh?
I did, yeah. Well, I was walked right past everyone's office. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, we have glass. I have pictures taped all over my door and window, though, of me with celebrities at Flashback Weekend. So, yeah. But my office is neat. I don't know how that happened.
I do not have glass walls, and my office is not neat.
Okay. Well, that's cool. And did you enjoy being down here? And you guys were in Studio A. I use Studio D, which is down the hallway, but that Studio A is pretty sweet, isn't it?
It's pretty sweet. And then the fireworks, because it's New Year's Eve, fireworks go off right below Studio A there.
Yeah.
And they explode right around the 18th floor. So their view is absolutely spectacular.
That's amazing. Yeah, I saw some footage online. People were filming with their cameras as the fireworks were just exactly right outside the window. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible. That whole studio, the view from there is incredible.
It is. It is. It is beautiful. And I prefer Studio. The reason why I prefer Studio D is because it's set up like the studio, almost exactly like the studio that I used to use on the 7th floor in the Trib building.
Okay.
So and I just like the way it's set up, the view's not as nice. It's cool, you know, but it's not as nice as like, you know, the lakefront and the Ferris wheel and all that stuff. But
yeah, that's also a huge studio if you're alone.
It is it is huge. It is huge. This is a pretty big studio too that we're in. They did a wonderful job when they moved us over here a couple of years ago. They did a really, really wonderful job with the equipment and the studios. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, the whole place is awe inspiring. It's like being aboard the Enterprise.
It's beautiful. It really is. Yeah, it is. All right. Well, Tom, let's get to it. What have you been driving lately? Let's talk about that.
Well, cool question. I'm driving something really interesting. I am driving the Volvo XC90. Inscription T8. So let me break that down.
What?
That's a lot of words. It's Volvo's large crossover in top-line inscription trim with the T8 drivetrain, which is their plug-in hybrid. So this is a car that will go 30, 35 miles out of plug-in, and then it works like a regular hybrid vehicle.
Huh.
But in all, we're averaging something like 30 miles per gallon, which is excellent for a vehicle of this size and this power. And the XC90 is beautiful inside. It rivals Audi now for general design and just the open, airy feel of the vehicle. It's a very modern interpretation of the crossover, but I like this vehicle a lot. It's expensive. It gets very close to $90,000, but if you're in that market, this is a very interesting pick.
Wow. All right, what else have you driven since the last time we talked?
Kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. I spent the weekend in the Toyota Tacoma TRD Pro, and TRD is Toyota Racing Division, and Pro is sort of an advancement of that. So this is a heavy-duty off-road version of the Tacoma, and it's got a big air intake that rises above the vehicle, and that's designed for use in sandy and dusty areas so that kind of grit doesn't get into the engine.
Mm.
It's totally unnecessary in Chicago, but it's completely cool.
Wow. Wow. All right. And what about the other stuff that people are driving around the office?
Wow, what did we just get in? Speaking of Toyota, we have something in that seems silly, but in application it was really good. I think everyone knows what the Toyota Avalon is, and it's kind of a dad's car. It's a roomy, somewhat conservative sedan. Well, Toyota has done a TRD, there's that word again, version of that vehicle that has spoilers and a lowered suspension and big wheels and tires. It seems silly, but I loved driving it.
Yeah.
The perversity of it just works for me.
Wow, that's great. All right. Always like to know what you guys are driving and testing out there. How often, you know, we talked about this before, Tom, but how is it when you have to, how long does it take you to adjust between different cars? Because it's obviously a different kind of feel. It's a different kind of, you know, it's a different kind of thing. How often is it is it jarring sometimes to jump from car to car?
It is, and one of the things that we need to remember, because we switch cars twice a week, is that we need to not focus too much on little things like Bluetooth connectivity and stuff like that, because most people do that once or twice the entire time they own their car. It's just us weirdos that do this 50 or 100 times a year.
Yeah.
So if it's difficult to Bluetooth pair your phone with the car, that's not a big deal for most people.
Right.
So we should let that frustration stick with us. But yeah, it can be a little bit strange to do that, especially because you have to figure out how the radio works in every different vehicle you get into, and
right.
and how the transmission works. And that's a weird thing now, but transmission controllers are no longer mechanically connected to the transmission. They tend to be knobs that you flip, or you nudge, or you slide to the side, or something like that. And that can be an abrupt change between vehicles.
Yeah. And also, I mean, we've talked about this before. You're a big guy, and so you have to adjust.
Yeah.
You have to adjust, you know, if you're comfortable in a different car every time you drive one.
Yes, and I curse anyone who leaves the steering wheel extended fully out. Because I need that pressed fully in.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, man. I got you. Okay, listen, Tom, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a bunch of news stories to talk about.
Yeah.
And if anybody has any questions or they're looking for a car, they got an automotive-related question, Tom is here, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Hang on, Tom, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is here, joins us every month. Consumer Guide Automotive is the website. And if you have a question, it's 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. It's Tuesday morning, and so that means two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
You make the requests. It's one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. That is also the phone number to call if you have any automotive or car-related questions or concerns, because Tom Appel is here, 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Tom back to the show. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, we got some electric car stories here.
Yeah,
that we want to get to. The electric vehicle sales are up.
They are, and they are almost entirely up because of the Tesla Model 3.
Mm.
As we remember, this is a great time to talk about this because it was 1 year ago now, roughly, that Tesla was building cars under a tent in the parking lot of its Fremont, California factory, trying to keep up with a promise that Elon Musk had made that they would produce 25,000 Model 3s a week. I don't think they ever hit that number, but they got really close, and the numbers are up, and the growth in electric car sales in 2019 was entirely Tesla.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now the those are good numbers. That bodes well for the industry. No question about it. But there seems to be a problem with the charging stations that are being. It's hard to find charging stations.
Yeah. And that's an interesting point. I said that number wrong, by the way. They were trying to get to 5,000 a week.
5,000 a week, okay. 5,000
a week, yeah. The charging station number is really interesting. And part of the reason I think that this number gets confused a little bit is that people who are buying electric cars right now almost exclusively have access to charging at home. So the number of charging stations isn't that significant. We're using the number of charging systems out there probably to make the marketplace seem more interesting to people who have yet to get into the market. One of the things that we know is that people who have a charging station at home will charge at home 80-90% of the time.
Mm.
And that the average person drives about 44 miles a day, something like that, to and from work. So they don't really need external charging stations. The reason we need them, and especially level 3 chargers, is along the interstate for people who plan to take a long trip. But the article we're talking about noted that there's about 1.2 million electric vehicles on the road right now and about 61 or 62,000 charging systems, stations, which seems really low. But people are going to be using electric charging stations far less than they use gas stations because their primary source of power is at home.
Yeah.
So it's not entirely certain yet if that is too few because right now utilization is very low. If you drive past a charging station, it's probably not being used.
Now, but you mentioned along the highways and along the travel roads, like if you're going on a long trip, that's where you need them more, correct?
You do, and Tesla's done a fairly good job of putting what they call their supercharger stations, which are faster than even conventional charging stations, along the interstate, and they're buried. But if you pull off the interstate, especially at 90-94 going into Detroit or something from Chicago, you will see these stations buried in weird places off the road, but they're there, and people are using them. So they're out there for people who want to take long trips in their electric vehicles. That's still the sketchy part of this.
Yeah.
For people who just want to drive around the city and they drive less than 200 miles a day, no problem.
Right.
But if you need to take a long trip, that's still somewhat uncertain.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just going to mention there is that Electrify American program, too, which is Volkswagen's punishment for the diesel scandal.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to be adding about another 5,000 stations on Volkswagen's tab over the next couple of years.
Okay. All right. So you can charge at home. That's where mostly people who have as you mentioned, the electric cars, most of the people charge their car at home.
Yes.
And so what now, the charging stations, is there a guide somewhere? Can you go online and find out where they're located? Is there some sort of universal, like, map?
There is, and each manufacturer maintains one of their own, too. But there's a number of public apps that you can use just to find charging stations. If you belong to a network, EVgo, for example, I have an EVgo card. There's an app for that. You can find all the stations. Chicago is well-populated with EVgo stations, for example, and those are pay stations. But if you buy an electric vehicle from, say, Chevy, the Volt, for example, the Bolt with a B, Chevy maintains a network that you can look up on their website of places to go to as well.
Okay. All right. We got a text coming. We got more electric car stories to talk about, and I want to get to that in a second. But we just got a text, 708, speaking of electric, your thoughts on the electric Mustang, and there's a story where the first edition electric Mustang is all sold out.
Yeah, the Mustang Mach-E, which is a very sporty crossover that uses the Mustang name and some Mustang styling cues. There was a launch edition of that vehicle. I'm not sure how many vehicles it was, but they've taken all the orders they're going to take for that. But Ford is happy to take your order for other versions of the vehicle.
All right, so the Mustang is doing, and obviously the Mustang is doing well. I have not seen a picture of it. Does it look like the classic Mustang?
A little bit. It looks more like a crossover with Mustang styling cues.
Oh, okay.
No one will mistake this for a Mustang.
Okay, because the Mustang is my favorite car.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
You have a favorite? We've talked about this before. What is your favorite car?
Right now, if I was going to buy a car myself right now, I really like the Honda Accord. And I really like the Honda Accord Hybrid, which is quick. It just feels very European.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really impressed by the efficiency, the roominess. That's a big deal for me.
Yeah.
But it's a great European feeling vehicle on the highway.
Very cool. Deanna sends in a text that says, for years, the Honda Civic was a top safety pick, but now it's not. What happened? My son needs a reliable, safe, good mileage, smaller car for the L.A. area driving.
I was not aware that it lost its top safety pick status, but that might have something to do with a couple of things that they're doing at IIHS now, which includes headlight rules and a couple of other things. It's probably not any less crash-worthy than it was before, but there are other technical things that are now being considered for that award.
Okay. Is there a car that you could suggest for her son? A reliable, safe, good mileage, smaller car for driving in L.A.?
Oh, I would still consider the Civic.
Okay.
Yeah, the Civic hasn't become less safe. The rules have changed a little bit.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, there you
go.
Yeah,
and then the new Mazda 3 is a kind of classy little car, too.
Okay, cool. So let's talk about this new battery that could slash the cost of an electric car. That's another story that has the electric car angle.
Yeah, there's a company called Nikola, which is the first name of Nikola Tesla.
Right.
Yeah, people are really digging on that guy's name. But there's a company named Nikola that's been doing some development into hydrogen-powered cars, which is really fuel cell vehicles, that is also working on some sort of breakthrough battery technology. The details are very sketchy on this, but it's supposed to be, it may or may not be an evolution of lithium-ion technology, which is what we're using in all electric vehicles now anyway. Now, there is something called solid-state technology, which is an evolution of lithium-ion, which removes a lot of the chemicals in which the lithium-ion chemical base is kind of stored in the battery, compressing the battery, making it smaller, making it tighter. And no one seems to have gotten anywhere with that yet, but everyone seems to know that that's where we're going. I don't know if that's what Nikola is talking about, but they're talking about reducing the weight of the battery by about half and improving the capacity by about half, which would be very, very impressive.
Is there a median average cost of an electric car? Or how do they vary?
Well, the batteries?
No, the cars themselves.
Right now, everybody tries to get their car under $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So entry-level cars are about 30 grand, which means that they're actually stickered at like $37.50 so that you can apply the federal tax credit to it and get it just under 30. So like $74.95 is kind of how they do that.
I see.
Yeah, but that's sort of a base price, and then there's almost always an upper trim level. This is true of the Leaf. This is true of the Bolt. The Bolt, by the way, which no longer qualifies for that.
Oh.
But we're going to see more of that for the companies that still qualify for the federal tax credit.
How competitive are these? Now we're talking batteries. How competitive are the people who are the companies who make the batteries?
The competition is interesting because some companies make their own batteries, like Tesla, and then other manufacturers, like General Motors, is cooperating with outside companies. Like GM just entered an agreement with a Korean company called LG Chem to build most of their EV batteries for the next decade or so. And interestingly, that factory is going to go in near Lordstown, which is the Chevy Cruze plant that just closed in Ohio. So that was a nice bit of PR for GM there.
Mm.
But the battery technology race is interesting because the thing that everyone's racing for is to get the cost of a kilowatt hour of battery under $100.
Oh, wow.
So it was about $350 per kilowatt hour back when the Chevy Volt was introduced back in 2011. And there are some people claiming now that they've got that cost to about $100.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, big gains.
Wow. Okay. And how is the electric car thing going over? Are people responding to electric cars? Are they still like, nah, I don't want an electric car. I want an old fashioned car that runs on gas.
It still seems to be very much early adopter.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. There doesn't seem to be a lot of casual interest in them yet, especially not in Chicago. I don't know why, but you see it in some places like D.C. and L.A. California is huge for this stuff, and in Arizona for some reason they seem to be very popular. But yeah, it's small gains. We're making small gains. I don't know to what extent like plug-in hybrids are helping. Plug-in hybrids don't sell well, but it does sort of make these things seem more normal and more typical day-to-day. One of the things that's probably going to happen is that the fleet thing is going to happen first.
Okay.
Right? I think we're going to see like Amazon.com, which is going to buy 100,000 electric vehicles in the next 2 years. That's the kind of thing that will normalize this.
Okay. I just think it's, I just think it's going to take people a while to get used to it, you know? I mean, everybody's been driving cars with gas for decades, you know?
Yeah, and then there's the horror stories, too, in Chicago, which are absolutely true, that you lose about a third of your range every time the temperature drops under zero.
Oh, it's true.
So that's a real thing you need to contend with in some markets.
We have a lovely winter. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at @car_guy_Tom. And if you want to jump in with a question or a comment or a concern about automotive or car-related stuff, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Nice choice, Tom. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is a Tuesday morning, and coming up a little bit later on, we'll start Two for Tuesday, so get your requests in now. Yeah, Two for Tuesday. And that is One Artist, Two Songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And that's also the number to call if you have any car or automotive-related question. You can call us or text us, 312-981-7200, because Tom Appel is here. Let's welcome Tom back. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
You gotta love Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes, you do.
That's a pretty cool car. That's a classic.
Yes. Well, I'm a Trans Am guy, so I'm all about that.
Yeah, I love that.
I am all about black Trans Ams.
I love that movie. I remember when it came out. I was 12 years old when it came out, so I saw it 900 times in the theater. It was only second to Star Wars as the biggest movie of 1977.
I didn't know that. No one remembers the second movie.
Yeah, I mean, if Star Wars wasn't the thing that it turned out to be, Smokey and the Bandit would have been the biggest movie of 1977.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just crazy. A couple of texts have come in, Tom.
Okay.
262 area code says, I just purchased the 2020 Rogue. What are your thoughts? Thank you.
Well, see, I'm always being set up by people who already bought the car. It's like a blind date. But we love the Rogue. We made the Rogue a Best Buy again for 2020. That is Nissan's compact crossover. It is very popular. It'll probably be the second best-selling vehicle in the U.S. this year that isn't a pickup truck.
Wow.
A lot of people making the same decision. But it is roomy. It is refined. The interior is very nice, and it's reasonably easy on the gas. The only thing that people might not like about it is that it uses a CVT automatic transmission. It doesn't feel like a conventional automatic, but you get used to it pretty quick.
Okay. All right, so that's a 2020 Rogue.
Yeah, nice.
They wanted your opinion, but they already bought it. I love that. That's pretty funny. All right, Marco, who's on the southeast side of Chicago, says, what happened to the Zap automobile?
Oh, man. I just checked on Zap during the commercial break. And
did you really?
Yeah, I didn't know Zap still existed, frankly. But Zap is probably one of the dirtiest companies ever to call itself a car company.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they were bringing in terrible Chinese electric vehicles and claiming that they built them and that they had designed them and they were selling them for too much money and they were really unsafe. They were these strange-looking three-wheel things that they were trying to talk people
to. Oh, yeah.
For like pizza delivery vehicles, but they were brutal. And finally, the government got a hold of them, and then the vehicles proved to have wildly unsafe brakes. And I thought they were driven out of business by that, but apparently they're selling electric scooters now. Who knows?
Oh.
I wouldn't buy anything from Zap.
Wow. Wow, that's really, man, oh, man. Were there accidents? Were there any fatalities or anything that were caused by these vehicles?
I don't know how well that information was tracked. I think there were definitely accidents. There was lots of reports of brake failures, and they hadn't sold that many vehicles. So the number of reports was exceptionally high given how few vehicles that they had sold. But their primary vehicle was something called the Zap Zebra, and that's spelled with an X, not a Z. And people should look that up online. I also have an article. I'll put it up on my Facebook page. I wrote about Zap a couple of years ago because they just amused me so much. But they were just the sleaziest bunch of operators.
Where were they out of?
California someplace.
Uh-huh. And how long were they around?
I think they've been around in different forms since the mid-90s.
And now they're just making scooters.
I think they're just selling scooters, yeah. I don't think they make them. I think they just buy them in China and sell them here.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever manufactured anything.
Zap.
I think it's usually Zap with an exclamation point.
Oh, is that? Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yes, because that's classy.
That's right. That's what you want from your car company, an exclamation point. Oh, man. All right. Story here about Amazon's van buying spree.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I knew this was happening. I'm glad I had to do some research into this. But Amazon and people in Chicago may have seen these lots popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
There's one, for example, on Tui and Lehigh near my office where there is maybe 100 vans. But Amazon has apparently procured in the last year and a half about 30,000 delivery vehicles.
Wow.
This is really good news for Ram and Mercedes and Ford that sell the kind of vehicles that they like. But, yeah, what they've done is they've started, I think they used to call it in the logistics world last mile, but it's the actual last step in the delivery process, and they were using the U.S. Mail Service and FedEx and other companies. But Amazon wants to take that delivery part in-house now, so they just need a lot of delivery trucks.
And they're going to, I mean, obviously they're going to have to hire a bunch of drivers, too. I mean, this is going to be, you know.
They are. And this is personal observation. This is 100% anecdotal. I'm not sure about these drivers because the lot that I drive past is full of brand new vans that are badly dented.
Well, that's just an observational thing, correct?
Yes, I have no statistical proof whatsoever.
Right, right. Well, that's pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
Brand new vans got dents all over them already. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, boy, Amazon's just taking over the world.
They are. I'm glad to see empty lots on Tui being filled with stuff. It's good, you know. Commerce is commerce.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of empty lots around the city, and Tui is a big spot for those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fill them up with Amazon vans with dents in them. 30,000 vans. Wow.
Yeah, the result, too, is that there's actually something of a shortage of large panel vans right now, which, you know, good news for dealers.
Yeah. Now, besides Amazon, do people actually buy vans like that, like regular people?
Yeah, the Ford Transit's really popular.
Is it?
People probably remember the old, you know, regular Chevy vans and Ford vans, and then Ford got away from that and uses a European design now with a high roof, much more like a Sprinter. And that's been doing very well for Ford. They're relatively light compared to the old vehicles, and,
yeah,
you know, available with diesel engines, and they're very popular with contractors and delivery people and stuff like that.
Yeah. But you remember the days when the Chevy van, when everybody had a Chevy van and the
I do.
Stuff painted on the side of it?
When I was in high school, that was just coming to an end, but there were a few hardcore guys that had the pop, you know, the big bulb windows.
Yeah.
And the cool paint jobs and the fender extenders and stuff. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are the same age, and
right.
and I remember that exactly. It was dying down a little bit, but in the 70s, it was everywhere. I mean, they made movies out of it. They made a movie called The Van.
I have seen The Van.
Yeah,
and I need to see it again, I think.
Yeah, and one of my favorites, because I mean, they were everywhere in the 70s. But there's this horror movie that came out in 1980 called Prom Night. Which I kind of watch semi regularly because I'm in love with Jamie Lee Curtis, and I especially love her in that movie, even though it's stupid. But there's a guy, an idiot character named Slick, in the movie, who drives the most ridiculous van. It's the most ridiculous van I've ever seen. It's one of my favorite like movie vans of all time. Is this guy Slick driving around in his van picking up girls?
And is it working for him?
It works for him. Yeah, he picks up a girl, ends up going to the prom.
There you go.
And then they get killed in the van. Then they both get killed while they're in the van. So Amazon vans are going to be seen everywhere.
Apparently, yeah, because they're still acquiring more. And they've got a contract to buy 100,000 of these from Rivian, that company that bought the old Mitsubishi plant in southern Illinois, or in Normal, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So their plan to acquire vans is huge.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty interesting. So, what about this? What's next for auto towns?
Yeah, that's a good question. Interesting article that I think it first appeared in the Detroit Free Press, but it's a little bit of a study of what happens in towns once the auto manufacturer pulls out.
Yeah.
And one of the examples they used that was interesting was Janesville. And for whatever reason, the UAW contract at the time didn't allow General Motors to actually shutter the plant. They just had to keep it idled for 5 years. And I guess the plan was during that time, the UAW was going to try to come to some sort of negotiating point where they could talk GM into reopening the plant, but that never happened, and the plant has since been leveled. But one of the things that seems to be happening more and more, America isn't producing fewer vehicles. We still produce about as many vehicles as we consume. That hasn't changed. We're not an exporter, a net exporter or importer of vehicles. But plants have gotten more efficient. So there is a little bit less manufacturing, and you have that going on. But you have this transition, too, where plants in the north, Detroit, Chicago, places like that, are closing, and plants in green grass sites in the south, like Alabama, are going up, in Tennessee, where Nissan has a lot of operation, and those, you know, the ground, the land is cheaper down there. If you're a foreign manufacturer, you probably don't have to deal with the unions. So there's a lot of this movement, and it's leaving a lot of places up north without factories, and it kind of devastates small towns.
I bet, man. Wow. Wow. Okay. And also, GM has retreated overseas.
Yeah, that story is interesting, too. Mary Barra, who's the current CEO of General Motors, and I think we all thought that she was going to lose her job during that key scandal back when.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She survived. Has turned out to be someone who doesn't really care that much about market share or about sales numbers. She cares purely about profit. And General Motors has retreated to the point where their annual sales are down by about 1.5 million units, but their profits are at all-time highs. So General Motors has left Western Europe, they've left Russia, they left South Africa, and interestingly, they left India, which a lot of people think is a growth market. But they stayed in China, and they're still in South America. They're in Brazil, and they're in Mexico. So General Motors is in places where it thinks it can do the best, and it's not going to spend money places where it thinks it's going to have to fight for too long, for too little profit. So really, kind of draconian cuts, but they all made a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long has the business been going in this direction?
I think for a while now. It's interesting that people, manufacturers are scrambling to the countries where they think they can make money. So some people are rushing into India, some people are rushing into Russia, and others are pulling away. Also, General Motors has a huge stake in China, where a lot of people are not making it right now. And the Chinese market is contracting for the first time in like a dozen years. And a lot of people are probably going to back out of China, leaving that for the big boys.
Mm, wow. All right. Interesting stuff. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right. Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. If you have a question concerning cars or automotive stuff, we got a bunch of texts that just came in. You can text or call us at 312-981-7200, and we'll get to that right after this on 720 WGN.
Well, now I've got a car that's mine alone, to be in the finance company on a ready-made pile of manufactured grief. And if I ain't out of gas in a pouring rain, I'm a changing a flat in a hurricane. I once spent 3 days lost on a clover leaf.
Poor Jerry Reed. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are alive in the Skyline Studio here until 4. We're going to get some music topics jumped in here a little bit later on. We want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. And that's the phone number to call or to text if you have a car-related question, because Tom Appel is here, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He joins us monthly. And also, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
All right.
Let's get Tom back on. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. I didn't realize Jerry Reed had so many songs about cars and driving.
Huh. I don't know if I knew that either.
Yeah.
I do like Jerry Reed.
I do, too. I do, too.
Yeah.
I remember when I was growing up, I used to listen to Amos Moses all the time. That's the one where the guy's living in the swamp knocking alligators on their head.
Oh, yeah. I would never have thought of that again.
That's him. by the way, 815 area code says, I think we've got a sub topic here going. Tom, we brought up vans and movie vans. my favorite van movie was Mother Jugs and Speed.
With there you go.
Raquel Welch and Bill Cosby and Harvey Keitel. Because they had this, it's a souped up ambulance. It was Bill Cosby's souped up ambulance.
I think I was watching that late at night one, so my dad made me turn it off.
I loved that movie. I remember I just loved it. And And it was just weird that Harvey Keitel was in that kind of movie. I don't know, you know what I mean? Because Harvey Keitel is so associated with, like, you know, method acting and Martin Scorsese, and here he is in this goofy movie with Bill Cosby and Raquel Welch about an ambulance company. And Larry Hagman's in it too. If I remember.
Now I have to see it again.
Oh yeah, no. And the van's awesome. The ambulance is awesome. Bunch of text here. See if we can answer some of this stuff for people.
Okay.
937 area code says, I hear some good things. What are some good things about the Subaru Outback 2020?
Well, the Outback and the Legacy on which it is based are both all new for 2020. So the Legacy, which is Subaru's midsize sedan, and the Outback, which is a wagon crossover based on that vehicle, all new this year, and I would argue that they are better. They're a little bit quieter, a little bit roomier, a little bit more refined. A piece of bad news is that the old-school flat six-cylinder engine that made great gravelly noise has been discontinued and replaced by a turbocharged four. But other than that, and everything's a CVT now, so there are no conventional automatics. They're all continuously variable transmissions, a thing that people sometimes have a hard time adjusting to. But other than that, these are likable cars. They're very well built. They're very quiet. We made the Outback a Best Buy for 2020. We liked it so much.
There you go. All right. That answers that question. 312 area code says, electric cars are so quiet. How is that possible?
Yeah, just because electric motors are quiet. A gasoline engine is necessarily loud to some degree because it actually is gasoline exploding in a very controlled manner, but there is an exhaust noise and there is an engine noise, and electric motors just whir, and they can be made to be very, very silent.
Wow, okay. 630 area code said, I just tuned in. We love our Ford Flex for road trips. I understand that this is last year. What's the replacement? I'm short, easy to get in.
Yeah, there won't be a Flex replacement. The Flex, for people who don't know, is a sort of wagony crossover that Ford was selling that was often had a contrasting color roof. Usually it was white. It's kind of a cool beach-looking vehicle. Never caught on with the general public. It was launched in the middle of the financial crisis and kind of got lost. But it's a really comfy vehicle for Ford people on a long trip. The Ford Explorer is probably a good alternative if you don't need that much space. The Ford Edge is not a bad way to go. But for long trips, I personally like the Chevrolet Traverse. It's just very roomy, very comfortable.
Okay. 815 area code says, what do you think of the new 2020 7.3-liter V8 that's in the Ford trucks? I'm trying to decide on it or the diesel. I've had a lot of problems with my 2015 diesel.
Yeah, I don't have an answer yet. That engine is brand new this year. For people who don't know what we're talking about, most medium-duty trucks, most 250 or 350, three-quarter-ton or half-ton or one-ton trucks,
yeah,
usually sold with a diesel engine. But some fleets and some individuals just don't want to pay the money for the diesel, or they're worried they're not going to be able to find diesel fuel. So Ford has gone with a much larger gasoline engine for 2020. It's a 7.3-liter. It's an old-school pushrod engine. The emphasis is on torque, so it might be good for towing. Haven't driven it. I haven't read a review of it yet. I suspect that it's going to be a nice alternative if you're not going to tow too much.
Mm. Okay. 630 area code says, considering the 2020 Subaru Forester, thoughts? Other comparable that could be considered?
Yeah, the Forester's a nice vehicle. It sells really well. If you go to Denver, you find out it's like the official vehicle of Denver.
Is that right?
It seems like everyone there has a Subaru Forester. They are flat out outstanding in the snow. No one makes a better all-wheel drive system than Subaru. But if you're looking for a little bit more space or a little bit more refinement, there are other vehicles out there too. That's a great one on your shopping list, but the Honda CR-V is good. The Toyota RAV4 is good. And I personally really like the Chevrolet Equinox.
Okay. And then we got 847 says, what do you know about the Dodge ProMaster series that you can also tow with?
That you can tow with? I don't know much about ProMaster. The ProMaster is the van we were just talking about that Amazon is buying.
That's what it is. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And as for towing, there's a gasoline engine that's a 3.5 or 3.6-liter engine that's gas, and then it's a 3-liter four-cylinder turbo diesel. And I don't know what the towing capacity is offhand. I don't think it's very high for either engine.
Okay.
It's probably not an ideal tow vehicle.
Okay. I love the blog, the stuff that you do on the blog where you pull out, like, old ads and stuff.
Yeah.
I love that. And you've got one now here called Turbo Madness with classic ads featuring turbocharged vehicles. Tell everybody, for the might not know what a turbocharged vehicle is.
Yeah, turbos were, and the, it's funny how turbos have changed over the years, but back in the day, in the 80s, when you slapped a turbo badge on a car, that meant something. That meant that engine had been seriously modified for performance, and a turbocharger is really a fan that's driven by the exhaust that forces more air into the engine, and the net effect is a much larger, more powerful engine. And the power delivery can be a little bit wonky, but no one cared because they were fast.
It was a thing that was big in the 80s, correct?
It was big in the 80s as a performance option. It's become kind of a standard thing now. There are a lot of turbocharged engines now that are not nearly so sport-oriented. But back then, it was a big deal.
Now, where did you find some of these ads? I mean, you were doing, because some of these are just, I love the old ads. I just think they're hilarious.
Yeah, and because we're paired up with Collectible Automobile Magazine, we have just a vast archive of old magazines.
Yeah, that must be fun to look through that stuff. I know you have a good time doing that.
No, it's great. I love that. And I could, you know, pretend like I'm working.
Yeah. We've got a 78 Buick turbo ad, and that's a really interesting-looking car.
Yeah, the Buicks were interesting. Buick was sort of a fairly conventional car company to embrace V6 turbos. And they were relatively reliable for the day. But you could get a 3.8-liter V6 to do roughly the work of a 350 cubic inch V8. The power delivery was a little wonky, and they made strange noises. But they were cool.
How about the, you also have an ad here for the 1980 Chevrolet Monte Carlo. What a classy vehicle.
That is basically the same car. What I love about it is there's a little bump on the hood that says turbo on it.
Oh, is that right?
Which is awesome.
Yeah. How about the Capri Turbo RS, Mercury Capri Turbo RS from 1980?
These were some of the screechiest turbos ever. This was Ford's old Pinto engine, the 2.3-liter overhead cam engine that they slapped a turbo on.
Oh, man.
And it proved to be fairly reliable, but the noise was just terrible.
I bet.
And when I was a younger man hanging out at the Denny's in Palatine at Rand and Dundee,
yeah,
the local police would come by in their turbocharged Fairmonts with the same engine, and they'd be full throttle, and the noise was just embarrassing.
Yeah,
it was just a horrifying shriek.
I learned how to drive in a Fairmont.
Oh,
yeah, that was our driver's ed cars. But when I went to driver's ed, that was at Taft High School.
Wow.
We had Ford Fairmonts.
I had a Citation.
Is that what you got?
Yeah.
All right. How about the Fiat Spider Turbo from 1981?
I have to be honest. I didn't even know this existed until I found this ad.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember this car at all. I remember the Fiat Spider, but I didn't know that they'd slapped a turbocharger on that. This had to be a blast to drive.
I bet. It looks cool.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
It
looks very, very cool. How about the, you got a Trans Am? Here, the Trans Am Turbo V8, 1981.
Yeah.
That's a cool, well, that's obviously, it's a great looking car because it's a Trans Am.
It is, but it's not actually that cool. The 1980 was a 301 turbo, and it replaced the Smokey and the Bandit 400 cubic inch engine, which was a monster. And the 301 just really didn't work that well as a turbo. It looked good on paper. It made nice numbers, but it just really didn't perform, and it was kind of clunky by most reports.
Hmm.
It was kind of the end of the Trans Am, really.
Yeah, that's too bad. Still one of the best cars ever. The 81 Volvo GLT, this ad is hilarious because it's like it makes it look like it's a badass car.
It kind of was. Yeah, I love this because we talked a little bit like that Avalon earlier with the TRD treatment.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit like what this Volvo is like. Here it is, this staid, bolt upright Volvo in blackout trim with really cool wheels and tires and some muscle under the hood.
Really?
Yeah.
For a Volvo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want one of these.
Okay. All right. How about the Dodge Turbo Colt, the Plymouth Turbo Colt?
These were weird. These were made by Mitsubishi, and Mitsubishi hadn't yet started selling cars by itself here, so they were selling them to Chrysler, and they were sold as Plymouth and Dodge. And the Plymouth and Dodge versions were identical. It just depended on what dealership you got these. And by all accounts, these cars were a blast to drive. They were small, they were light, and turbos of the day didn't really deliver all their power right away, so there was something called turbo lag, but when a turbo kicked in, it would just throw you back in your seat. and these cars were notorious for that.
Yeah, just you could get some whiplash not hitting anything.
Yeah, which, you know, that passed for fun in those days.
All right, well, Tom, what are you working on? Anything coming up that you're working on?
I'm working on a couple of things. I haven't decided what it's going to be, but I'm going to work on another collection of ads for next week.
Okay.
We'll see what that is. And I think I'm going to work on a forgotten concept of something called the Chrysler Jazz. I think that was the concept car.
Okay.
So that's if I can find enough material about it.
There you go. And all right, everybody can follow you at car_guy_Tom, and you can check out consumerguide.com.
Yeah.
All right. Tom, always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next month.
Oh, pleasure was all mine. Thank you,
Nick. Take care. Tom Appel, he'll join us again to talk cars in a month. All right. Break here. News is up.